You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Tuesday, August 2nd on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Show number 4,750, Grant Allen running the radio broadcast, and it's a delight for us to share time with you. Oh, what a day we have in store for you. I was going to say that the big stories changed, but they didn't. They've just been enhanced and added to. We'll get to all that, unpack it in due course. Titus 2, 6 through 8. Encourage the young man to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Every now and then, words can be used to motivate young men, young people. But if those words are not followed by actions that mirror those words, words begin to be, well, they're meaningless. Actions. Live your life in such a way that people will know. Listen, yesterday I had a long conversation with my pastor. And we sat around over lunch chatting about a wide range of things. And we eventually got around to where we are today in the world. And we both heartily agreed that your faith in the veracity of God's word should be strengthened now by the ridiculousness of the world. Because it is only through, I don't know if you've ever put on those 3D glasses to watch a 3D movie at home. Or at a movie theater. Now, granted, at a movie theater, it works a whole lot better because you've got much more darkness and a brighter projection than maybe what you do with your television screen. Because if you don't adjust your television screen brightness up to the highest brightness, 3D DVDs are dimmer and you won't get really the full dynamic effect. So let's just use any 3D experience, whether it's at home or a movie theater. Maybe it's even in an amusement park. Have you ever taken the glasses off and looked at the image and seen how weird it looks? Life today in America and more broadly around the world is like watching a 3D movie without 3D glasses. It's like, what? Right? I mean, you look at a movie that's shot in 3D without the glasses, and it's this layered, kind of weird, blurry, kind of out of focus, and that's what the world looks like. What is going on? You slip on glasses, you put those 3D glasses on, you take up God's word, you study God's word, you get to know God's word, and you slip on that filter to look at the world today, boom, everything comes into picture. Crystal clear, with full definition. You have got to be reading God's Word. You have got to be certain that you are in a church that is teaching it properly. I'm going to give you a number here. 37% of pastors of, quote, Christian churches in America today have a biblical worldview. 37%. Don't. So I'm going to guess your church may not be one of the good ones. Just saying. 10 minutes after the hour, it's the morning show with Preston Scott.
Mayor of Realville. It's the morning show with Preston Scott.
Minutes after the hour. This date in history, August the 2nd, 1776, members of the Continental Congress begin signing an engrossed copy of the Declaration of Independence. What does that mean? Engrossed?
Isn't that where you like imprint it like into the paper? Is that what that is?
I don't know.
Or is that embossing?
Well, see, embossing is raised lettering.
Okay.
An engrossed copy of the Declaration. I should know that, but I don't.
This definition says tactic used in ancient law where the method of drawing up a written deed or contract involved working out a rough draft and then having the final terms. So it's just the description of the...
Okay, they begin signing it August 2nd, 1776. Because it was read last month.
Right.
Yeah. All right. 1876, 100 years go by before Wild Bill Hickok is shot dead while playing poker in Deadwood, South Dakota. Do you know the hand he was holding?
I've heard it before, but I can't remember it.
Aces and eights. The dead man's hand. Rumor has it that if you play poker and you get aces and eights, you look over your shoulder to see if death is coming. Hickok did not check his shoulder. Skadoosh. Let's see here. 1923, Warren G. Harding, 29th U.S. president, dies in office. Albert Einstein in 1939 signs a letter to President Roosevelt urging him to develop an atomic bomb before the Nazis do. And in 1943, John F. Kennedy's PT-109 is ripped in two by a Japanese destroyer off the Solomon Islands. There's an interesting little backstory to that. 4 days later, two Solomon Islanders in a dugout canoe found the stranded sailors who had found their way to an island. Kennedy carved a message onto a coconut, which they took to Allied troops. Within two more days, the PT crew had been rescued. When he became president, Kennedy kept the coconut with its scratched message on his desk in the Oval Office to remind himself of the ordeal and the two comrades he lost. Kennedy was a hero. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Stay faithful to his wife, but that was his biggest shortcoming. I still marvel at the fact that so radically different is the Democrat Party that Kennedy would not be able to be part of it today. His policies would be considered that of a moderate Republican today. Crazy. Today on the show, we are scheduled, had confirmed, a visit with U.S. Congresswoman Kat Kamik. Among the things we'll be discussing is whether or not she took classes from Pete Rose on how to come to home plate. Congressional baseball game. Yeah.
UFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Hey, so here we go.
An iHeart's radio station.
Good morning and welcome to the morning show with Preston Scott. I'm
Preston.
That's Grant. And it's always fun to share time with you. I really love knowing. I can't even begin to tell you the joy it brings me that people that hate my guts contribute to my success. I love it. I absolutely do. You know, we've been at this for better than 20 years now, and I think we're, you know, thanks to God's grace, we have been just continuing to do something that no one has ever done in this community as it relates to talk radio. And the success of the program, it is all attributed to God's favor. It's certainly nothing that I or any of the producers along the way, any that we have done. It's just the kindness of you people and God, you know. The willingness to talk about God, because even though we seem to be sliding into a precipice, and by the way, that's a great word, a precipice. That is the common link that most stay away from in our industry. They stay away from it in broadcast television, and they stay away from it in radio, talking about God, and I just don't. But it is so heartwarming to me that we are even a place that people that don't agree with me actively tune in and listen. I get stopped at the grocery store from people all the time. You know, I don't agree with a lot of what you say, but I really enjoy the show. Awesome. That's terrific. I do enjoy the fact that there are certain issues that we still have yet to have one person respond to the Just One Challenge on I think we were up to maybe four or five different topics now where we have just one. Call in and defend. But it makes my heart happy to know that we are the place that you come to, even though you hate me. It's just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because you contribute to our success. And it's awesome. It really is. I did a commentary yesterday based on nothing but headlines from Not the Bee. And just to be certain you understand, Not the Bee is a product of the Babylon Bee. But unlike the Babylon Bee, which engages in satire, which is always surrounded by or maybe inspired by a kernel of truth, Not the Bee, nothing but true stories. Stuff that you just cannot believe.
That's their speciality.
Yes.
Outrageous.
Students at a New York City Episcopal church giving a standing ovation to a drag queen, LGBTQ activist during Pride Chapel. And the dude's name was Britta Filter.
Seriously?
Britta Filter.
The person in drag or whatever?
Yes. Michigan's Governor Gretchen Whitmer stating that she will defend the right to abortion for my kids and your kids. Doesn't that just sound ironic? Just think about it for a second. for my kids and your kids, you mean the children that you're going to defend their rights because they weren't aborted and therefore are alive? Those children?
It's like the common trope. The only people who are advocates of abortion are people who have been born.
Well, yeah, that's something I've been saying for years.
It's like the same Gretchen Whitmer kind of thing. It's
Joe Biden nominates for one of the vacancies in federal court somewhere. One of the lead attorneys trying to keep abortion legal before the U.S. Supreme Court. She lost. So what are we going to do? We're going to take an abortion advocate and make her a judge. See, I believe advocacy of any kind, on the right or the left, negates you as a judge. Don't you think? I mean, don't you think that if you engage in political action that would be in the arena of cases that you would be hearing, that you should no longer be considered as a judge, as a fair and honest and balanced arbiter of facts? And then there's Elon Musk tags Wikipedia co-creator, notes the platform is tanking after it locked edits on its recession page. It will no longer allow anyone to change its definition of recession. But then Wikipedia's, I think, original creator said the thing had gone woke.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
His job to keep you informed. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Here we go. Second half of the first hour of The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Good morning. Grant is running the show. Next hour, Gary, Indiana. The rise and fall of Gary, Indiana. I just found the story interesting. Had a listener send it my way. And it's fascinating for a lot of reasons. It's heartbreaking. It could be It could be the plot of a great comeback story, though, as well. It could be part of that. So talk a little bit about Gary, Indiana. Are there things to learn from Gary, Indiana? Also, Manly Minute next hour, and then, of course, third hour, U.S. Congresswoman Kat Kamick. Several stories here. We're learning more about Dennis from the Stacey Abrams commercial. Thanks to listeners and some digging that we've done and others are starting to do, we know a little bit about Dennis. Dennis is Dennis Collard. Dennis Collard is a Democrat activist. He's a divorce attorney, has his own firm in Georgia. And when Dennis portrays himself as a former law enforcement deputy sheriff, what he neglects to mention is Stacey Abrams couldn't find one in Georgia to support her cause.
Gee.
He spent about 5 years in law enforcement in Florida.
No kidding.
Yep. From 94 to 99. Worked as a police officer.
So he was never actually a law enforcement officer for the state of Georgia.
Correct. He is described as an LGBT attorney, Democrat activist. His LinkedIn account, his pronouns are he, him.
Oh, good.
Fair enough. He's got him. The Washington Free Beacon did some digging, though, got some information and so forth.
So we're not the only ones trying to track this fella back.
No, and I did email him a couple weeks ago and welcomed him on the show to explain himself and some of his claims. And, of course, we're not going to hear one word about him or from him. He's not going to come on this show because he's been outed. He's not legit. He doesn't have he has nothing to say about Georgia law enforcement because he's not one. And he knows that the numbers that he's rolling out as far as crime and so forth are strictly Atlanta. And he doesn't want to be, to borrow his parlance, he doesn't want to be cross-examined.
He doesn't want to step 5 feet outside of the city of Atlanta. Because the minute he does, it's a whole different world.
Well, yeah, but I think it's important to note that just like Stacey Abrams, the overwhelming majority of her financial support comes from outside Georgia. She can't even find a law enforcement officer inside the state to support her, and that's because more than 100 Georgia sheriffs have endorsed Brian Kemp. No one's endorsing her that's in law enforcement. So that ad is. I actually think that there would be reason to perhaps pull the ad for misrepresentation, but that's not my call. Joe Biden is creating a permanent U.S. Postal Service division to deliver and return ballots in the upcoming election.
You've got to be kidding me.
No. Division of the United States Postal Service is being created permanently, is what the story says. We're going to talk to Kat Kamick about this. And of course, it's important to note that even if we set aside the fact that we have sworn affidavits from contractors working for the Postal Service that illegal ballots were either backdated or were brought across state lines on at least two occasions in swing states in 2020. The U.S. Postal Service is a union-run organization, and unions favor Democrats to Republicans by probably 90 to 10. I mean, it's crazy.
Welcome to MAD Radio Network, where we challenge you to make a difference. And this is The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Yeah, what could go wrong in the 2022 midterms? Special division, huh?
I took your advice, by the way.
What's that?
I burned my mail ballot.
There you go.
Because I'm assuming others, I specifically did not request a mail-in ballot, but I got one anyway, so I burned it. No chance. No fraudulent votes from my name.
By the way, lest you think this is just one of those crazy stories, Washington Post, USPS Election Division will oversee mail-in ballots. I'm just, it's a thing. Okay, so we whacked Al-Qaeda's leader, the guy who replaced Osama bin Laden. Ayman al-Zawahiri is now... Zawahiri. He's now dead. We got him with a drone, and here's the question. And I'm not alone asking the question. What in the world was he doing in Afghanistan, let alone the capital? Let me quote Joe Biden. This is August 2021. We went to Afghanistan for the express purpose of getting rid of Al-Qaeda, as well getting Osama bin Laden. Why is Al-Qaeda still there? Why is al-Zawahiri so confident? This dude's been in hiding for, what, 20 years? And suddenly he's walking around Kabul? Or Kabul? When I say Kabul, I think of dog food. I don't know why. Kabul and bits. Why he's wandering around Afghanistan openly? So you don't think the Taliban is
cozy,
chummy
up
and buddy with Al Qaeda?
Of course they. Of course. I thought they didn't like each other though.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Did they, put the skeletons to bed and kind of unite under one goal?
That's what I'm asking. What's going on here? It just and then all of our a bunch of our military tech is in their hands now. It's insane. And then lastly, this is just an important story, so give me a second. Over the weekend, Madison County, Indiana, 2 a.m. Sunday morning, 24-year-old rookie police officer shot and killed. Routine traffic stop. Pulled over a guy. While he's running the guy's plate, guy gets out of his car. I think they counted more than 30 rounds fired into the police officer's vehicle. He served 5 years in the military before coming back to serve his community as a police officer. And he's now dead. Don't ever dismiss the work of law enforcement officers and be dismissive of the danger they face at any moment, at any time. Traffic stop. So the next time you're pulled over, mind your manners, follow your directions.
Morning show with Preston Scott.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
On WFLA.
All right. Update on a few other little odds and ends here before I get to a quick little story. And then our conversation next hour, just a few minutes talking about one community in America, a little snapshot. I always find myself drawn to stories like the one that was sent to me about Gary, Indiana. How did we get where we are? And so we'll unpack that here in just a few minutes. But number one, more and more email coming in on election related stuff. Folks, do a little digging. TallahasseeReports.com. In your community, wherever you live. I'm not going to be asked about stuff in Pennsylvania and Illinois and Missouri and Ohio where, you know, we have listeners, but they know I live in Florida. I'm going to be asked about Bay County and Leon County and Panama City and Tallahassee and the surrounding area. And I really don't have much for you. There's a part of me that would, that just to be honest with you, would be a little disappointed that after all that we do and all of the direction we give you and the blog that I post, you're still asking me for direction. You should be engaged enough to know what's going on in your community to effectively guide your vote. So we have a blog up that addresses that the best we can. I'm being asked a lot about, okay, what about judges? What about, you know, some of these other races? We have a link to the Florida Family Policy Council. They have a statewide voter guide based on their criteria, and their criteria is laid out. And I will simply tell you that if you are inclined to lean to the right, be conservative, libertarian, care about values and morals, you will agree with the recommendations of the Florida Family Policy Council. They are in line with you. If you are a Marxist, communist, illiberal leftist, you'll hate them. And you'll want to vote just the opposite. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
So it's very informative, one way or the other.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, well, if the teachers union is for it, I'm against it.
Yeah.
I mean, and then I'll dig and have to be convinced, okay, maybe the union got one right. It doesn't happen very often. I think it's happened maybe once in 20 years.
But it's a good starting point.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of your
baseline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What else? Oh, this. You might not know the name Sean King. Sean King is an activist.
Wasn't he like he and Rachel Dolezal are the ones that kind
of kind of like that. He's had some swings and misses.
Yeah.
Over the years, this according to the Washington Free Beacon, the latest story, but just to kind of set the stage here, the mother of Tamir Rice, 12-year-old boy killed by police in Ohio, she said that King robbed her by holding unauthorized fundraisers in her son's name.
Oof. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's bad. He has affiliations that are sketchy. He says, no, I'm a good guy. And this in and of itself is not necessarily anything illegal. It's just
sketch.
Worth noting. He's got a PAC called Grassroots Law, PAC. And the idea is to help elect district attorneys that are soft on crime.
So is he getting money from Soros?
Well, not a lot of money's flowing in, but about $30,000 flowed out for him to buy a performance dog.
What?
Trained by a California-based company, Potrero. A Mastiff that was bred that he said was going to be used for security and for his family. Apparently didn't work out, and there was nothing illegal about the purchase. I'm just wondering if donors really wanted that to go to purchasing a dog. But the dog is back in the custody of the owner originally. Second hour of the morning show with Preston Scott. I really butchered that final story of the hour. I just didn't get through it very well. I got talking about too many other things. Point of the matter in that story is I wonder, it's just the continuation of these organizations that raise money. Black Lives Matter affiliated organizations, and they raise all this money and they start buying these mansions. And no one can find what they're doing to help, quote, the cause. Even if we could agree on what that cause might be, because there doesn't seem to be any agreement on that at all.
This guy takes $30,000 to buy himself a dog, and he doesn't even keep it. It ended up back in the hands of the breeders and trainers. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if he asked for a refund or I have no idea. But anyway, welcome to the second hour of the program. Gary, Indiana. This story is interesting. It's from the U.S. Sun. It has been declared the most miserable city in the United States. Now, let's just back up for a second. First, how would that make you feel? If you were a resident of a community labeled the worst in the country.
Well, it's one of two reactions. That's crazy. Or, yep, kind of sucks here.
Then what? See, that to me is the
then
key.
Then you go to work as a miserable person.
Well, I mean, look, there are some common things here. Gary, Indiana, if you dig into the background of it, which I did.
Chicago suburb.
It really is.
Yeah.
Founded in 1906 on the southern shore of Lake Michigan, 28 miles from Chicago, taking its name from Albert Henry Gary, founding chairman of United States Steel. Steel, the huge employer of the area. Pubs, bars thrive there. There was one tavern for every 88 residents of Gary at one time. One for every 88 people.
Wow.
By the 1920s, 16,000 workers were in the various steel plants in the area. Between 1920 and 1940, the population of Gary, Indiana doubled. I mean, it's the Rust Belt, right?
Yep.
But after, and it was primarily Eastern European immigrants that settled into Gary, working the steel factories. But blacks living in the South started migrating north, and among those, Joe Jackson, the father of the Jackson family, Michael Jackson and the brothers, sister. I mean, Gary, Indiana is the home of the Jacksons. Michael Jackson and the Jackson Five. But after World War II, as racial tensions began to grow in the 1960s, a lot of whites left the community. And so to track it, in the last 60 years, 100,000 of 168,000 people have left. Let me say that again. 100,000 of a population of roughly 170,000 have left. Houses have been sold for $1.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Beck, you want him on that radio.
America can handle the truth.
You need him on that radio. 9 to noon on WFLA.
Talking about Gary, Indiana, what, if any, lessons can be learned? It was at one time called the murder capital of the United States. I've watched interviews from people. I mean, if you go on YouTube, you can find anything. You can find exposés about Gary, what happened at Gary in Gary, Indiana. You can find just dudes interviewing dudes. I mean, just some guy rolls up, starts running his tape, and just talks to a couple guys at a gas station about living in Gary, Indiana. And they talk about, and two black gentlemen were being interviewed, and they talked about how the mayors just keep destroying the city. And they were talking about the importance of education, and gangs in Gary are different than gangs in Chicago, and Gary's much safer than Chicago would be right now. And that, you know, Gary's much more laid back than Chicago, much less expensive to live in Chicago. And I believe it. We were just saying houses for a buck. The city had a deal where if you had a certain income level, you had to have an income of $35,000 or above, and you had to be willing to occupy the home for 5 years. You had to renovate it within a year, live in it for five, and have a base level of income, you could buy a house for a buck.
Wow.
Couldn't rent the property, couldn't sell the property for a minimum of 5 years. Now, Detroit's done a similar thing, and there's an entire show on HGTV based on the renovation of areas of Detroit where people, you know, where this couple of guys buy these homes and buy them for $1,000, $5,000. Now they're buying them for $20,000 or $30,000, and they build them and sell them furnished to first-time home buyers. And it's awesome. I mean, it's really cool. So what do you learn from this? How do you recover when you've lost it? You know, Gary was built on these steel factories, giant furnaces, mass labor. It shuts down. How do you replace that? And I think there are a couple of things, and I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to paint this partisan picture here, but look, you can't hold political leadership necessarily responsible for the crash of an industry. I don't know that the environmentalist movement had much to do with steel leaving Gary, Indiana prior to the whole environmental movement. You know what I mean? I mean, it just the business, everything changed. Things relocated, and that business left. But you can say leadership was just lacking vision. Leadership was lacking in general. And the one thing that you can point to across the country that I think is evident in Gary, Indiana, is leadership. You look at cities and communities struggling in this country right now, almost all of them are led by Democrats. Almost all of them. Almost every community that is fighting crime and violence right now, led by Democrats. Communities that are becoming hubs for Klantifa, clubs for homelessness, where they're not solving the problem, they're enhancing the problem. They're making it worse run by Democrats. And so you look at a snapshot of what's called now the most miserable city in the United States, Gary, Indiana, and there are lessons to be learned. Will we learn them? I don't know. Come back with more of The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
FLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
This is crazy!
And iHeart's radio station.
All right, here's a name that is new to me, probably going to be new to you. He's the new CEO of CNN, Chris Licht. L-I-C-H-T. Maybe it's light. I've heard it pronounced with a silent
C-H.
Yeah. But regardless, he's Jeff Zucker's replacement. Now, Zucker destroyed CNN. Zucker turned CNN into a fear-mongering news outlet during COVID, and prior to that, into one of the most biased outlets anywhere. Print, meaning digital, online, broadcast, just brutal. I mean, everything from Jim Acosta to Jake Tapper to just Brian Stelter, I mean, just craziness. Not as bad as MSNBC, but they're cousins, right? So it's basically the same. And I've just, this is just remarkable to me. Apparently, according to the Free Beacon, he camped out in the middle of July on the first floor of the U.S. Senate in room S120, where he asked lawmakers to meet with him privately. The arrangement avoided alerting reporters who stalked the halls of the Capitol, according to sources, and accommodated Republican lawmakers who preferred not to be seen talking to him. His message, according to one of the lawmakers who sat down with him, as well as several sources briefed on the exchanges, quote, "We want to win back your trust." He spent 45 minutes, maybe an hour, meeting with GOP lawmakers who will no longer appear on the network, assuring them he'd praise producers for inviting them and communicate his displeasure if he doesn't believe they're treated fairly. According to one lawmaker, quoted in the Washington Free Beacon, "I think he does genuinely want that to happen, put aside ideology. I think he thinks CNN sucks." That's a quote. Now, you have an obvious issue here. Number one, the leadership team that he has around him is the same team that Jeff Zucker had. So what possibly can change? Then consider Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper's considered what? One of the more moderate members of their team, right? Except get this. He floated the idea of banning from his show any Republican lawmaker who questioned the 2020 election results. Quoting, "How am I supposed to believe anything they say?" Now, Chris Wallace, who defected from Fox News to CNN, which is probably a more apropos place for Chris Wallace,
yep,
said, it's moral posturing. The problem is that Tapper's a former spokesman for a Democratic member of Congress, and he continues to book Stacey Abrams, who never conceded her 2018 race, to Brian Kemp. So you get, you know, and then you've got Acosta, who is an embarrassment as a reporter. You've got Brian Stelter, who's not just an embarrassment, but he's just weird. He looks like he belongs on a sitcom.
Yeah, he looks like a dolty dad on some bad network sitcom.
Or the odd guy out who can't find someone to marry him, can't get a date, and he's the fifth wheel all the time, right?
He just posts the most bizarre stuff.
So I'm going to be curious. Remember now, months ago I told you that there were many believing that the new directors of the owners of CNN, the people now in charge, were going to change things. We talked about that. Is this the beginning? Does this guy give everybody a chance to toe the line? I personally don't think you can gain any credibility with them because everyone will know it's disingenuous. Look, this is the problem facing the media, medicine, government, trust is gone. You're going to have to earn it back. And I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't see a scenario where it's going to happen. But, hey, good luck. He said he's not worried about advertisers. I don't know. You ought to be. Shareholders certainly care. He said we get most of our money from cable subscribers. And that could be. If only the cable subscriptions could choose exactly what they want to watch, you'd find the value of CNN. Because no one's watching. But he is the guy that canceled the CNN Plus service. Weeks into the job, he's the one that said, that's gone. Put the kibosh on that.
Welcome to MAD Radio Network. Make a difference, Radio Network. And this is The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Manly Minute in just a little bit. Grant Allen over there. How are you doing today?
Just Jim Dandy.
Keeping up with our Twitter page?
Yep.
While we have it?
Yep.
We're up to what, 15, 16 followers?
Maybe 17.
Come on.
252.
That's it? That's it? You're not stirring the pot enough, sir.
Well, if you'd like...
No, that's okay.
I was going to say, ask and ye shall receive.
Yeah, no, it's...
don't worry, I won't.
That's just... It's so inconsequential to me. I wish it mattered more. It just doesn't. Big stories in the press box. Washington Post. Washington Post. United States Postal Service is creating a division to handle election mail issues as part of an effort to ensure swift and secure delivery of ballots for the 2022 midterm elections. May I just pause for a moment? Why? Why do we need that? Everything in 2020 was great. Right? What's the point? Why do we need this?
If there was nothing wrong.
I mean... Okay, so one USPS contractor swore in an affidavit that meant that if it was false, he could go to jail. That he dropped off a trailer full of tens of thousands of ballots from New York to Pennsylvania. I mean, why would anybody want to create a special division for securely transporting and dealing with election related ballots, right? Then there's the Michigan USPS subcontractor who said that he was forced to backdate ballots to say that they arrived on time when in fact they didn't. Project Veritas has all that. Both those stories, in fact. I mean, do you know the politics of your U.S. Postal Service workers? Some of them are just fine. But the fact of the matter is, nationally, they're unionized. And unions are dominated by Democrats. Unions give all their money to Democrats. I'm just saying, you talk about a problem as we look ahead to the midterms. We've told you all along, they are going to try again. And the only way to defeat the effort, whether it's using the Postal Service, whether it's using another pandemic, which Joe Biden amazingly said we were definitely going to have. We're going to have one. We're going to have one. There you go. Do you think there might be just a little bit of pre-planning going on? And the only way you defeat that is to overwhelm it at the ballot box. Overwhelm it. Where they just can't cheat enough. The exit polling and everything, it just, they can't cheat that much. That's the only way you overcome it. So I hope you're making plans. 24-year-old police officer, Sunday morning, 2 a.m., Madison County, Indiana. Noah Shanavaz. Noah, good-looking young man, U.S. Army veteran, been a member of the Elwood Police Department for less than a year. He's a rookie. Shot and killed. Traffic stop, 42-year-old suspect. I want to just, we're going to highlight this story in this part of the big stories in the press box for this reason. Charged with murder, possession of a firearm by a violent felon. Now, how did he get that? There are rules and laws that say you can't have one. We have, that's against the law, sir. Yeah, how'd that work out for that police officer? Shot at more than 30 times.
Always looking for the truth. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Congressional Joint Committee on Taxation released data over the weekend. This is on the reduced Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 that Joe Manchin signed on for, along with Chuck Schumer. The Joe Biden package slimmed down. Listen. I'm just reading the story. While the bill does not raise the federal tax rate, Republicans are sounding the alarm after the nonpartisan Congressional Joint Committee on Taxation released data over the weekend estimating the corporate tax will be passed down, raising taxes on Americans across every income bracket. Remember Preston's rule on taxation? Businesses don't pay taxes. Consumers do. Customers do. I told you. And Joe Manchin is out there, bless his heart. That's just not true. Well, yes, it is, Joe. Joe's smarter than that. I defer back to what he get. What did he get? And I don't mean personally. I believe Joe Manchin is absolutely a person of integrity. So what do you get in, as a payoff on this in terms of West Virginia? But West Virginia voters are livid. They are livid with him. More on West Virginia here in just a second. I don't know if you saw this. Heartland Institute, ladies and gentlemen. And again, catching up to what we've said on this show for better than a decade now. I have told you that one of the greatest flaws in all of the global warming fanaticism is the instrumentation used to measure temperature is compromised. Looky what I have here. Study investigated the placement of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration temperature stations, found that 96% of the facilities used to measure heat failed to meet the agency's own uncorrupted placement standards. Meaning, inside the NOAA documentation, the requirements, I'm reading from their document. that data temperature data instruments must be over level terrain, earth, or sod, typical of the area around the station and at least 100 feet away from extensive concrete or paved surface, and that all attempts will be made to avoid areas where rough terrain or air drainage are proven to result in non-representative temperature data. So what did they find? 96% of the temperature reporting stations are in fact within close proximity or sitting on asphalt, cement, machinery, and other heat-producing, heat-trapping, or heat-accentuating objects. Some of these devices are next to air conditioning units on rooftops. Our temperature's climbing. You ever taken your temperature on your roof? I'm just asking. Have you ever done it? Let alone next to a machine running in that heat, and they're measuring the temperature. 96 out of 100 measuring devices are not in keeping with their own documents for a honest reading.
Come on.
I told you about this more than 10 years ago on this very show. You're welcome.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Mayor of Realville. Dispensing information at the speed of sound. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Okay, we're gonna paraphrase here. West Virginia. That was the battle cry during the Revolutionary War.
Virginia.
Yeah.
Huzzah! Virginia.
We're gonna throw
West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia's despite Joe Manchin's betrayal. And look, he's just wrong. I still hold Joe Manchin as an honorable man. I just think he's wrong. I think he has been lied to, and I think he is trying to extend the benefit of the doubt to leadership, but he's wrong. But West Virginia is getting a lot of things right. They won the United States Supreme Court case against the EPA. Huge, 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 huge. Now, the West Virginia Attorney General Patrick Morrisey and the state treasurer Riley Moore are fighting ESG.
Good.
Now, we know that Governor DeSantis has taken action here in Florida, but what they've done inside of West Virginia is amazing. Quoting, "As treasurer, I have a duty to act in the best interest of the state's treasury and our people when choosing financial services for West Virginia. Any institution with policies that aimed at weakening our energy industries, tax base, and job market has a clear conflict of interest in handling taxpayer dollars. And so earlier this year, he had asked the Senate to pass Bill 262, which authorized the treasurer to publish a restricted financial institution list. State legislature gave him the power to issue the list and to disqualify any firm on the list from state banking contracts. He identified six financial institutions potentially engaged in boycotts of energy companies and provided them with written notice. They had 30 days to submit additional information disputing their potential inclusion on the restricted list. All six submitted responses. They were reviewed. He determined that there are five of these businesses, organizations, banks, lenders, financial institutions that are no longer eligible to bid on banking contracts. BlackRock, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo, engaged in boycotts of fossil fuel and are not changing their policies. U.S. Bank Corp was not placed on the list because it demonstrated to the treasurer it had eliminated policies against financing, coal mining, coal power, pipeline construction from its ESG policy. That's how you win.
Yep.
That's how you win the game against ESG. That is a huge, huge development. And hopefully we'll take more actions here in Florida.
Now you're a man. Now you're a man. You are now a man. You're a man. Now you're a man.
Manly Minute. Remember, male by birth, man by choice. And I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going back to what I started the show with. Remember, these are tips. These are things, ideals, thoughts, virtues to teach your son. Titus 2, 6 through 8. Encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. So here you go. Encourage young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set an example. There you go, guys. That's what you do. Ladies that are single moms, find men that'll model that for your son so you can look him in the eye and say,
now you're mortal.
Time for news. Top of the hour, U.S. Congresswoman Kat Kamick scheduled to join us next hour.
Live it.
As we move to the morning show with Preston Scott. And we move to the third hour of the radio program. Also, we'll visit with Chris Poole, FSU volleyball. We'll have him on the program as we start getting ready for the fall season of FSU athletics here on the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Safety.
And here we go, the third hour of the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Good morning, Grant Allen over there running the radio broadcast, fielding your calls and comments as they come in and lining up our guests. And it's great to have you with us this morning, August the 2nd, show 4750. 4,750, can you believe it? And here we go with another visit with U.S. Congresswoman Kat Kamick, Florida 3rd Congressional District. And Congresswoman, welcome back to the program. How are you today?
Good morning, and congratulations, man. You are on a heck of a roll with, how you said, 4,000 plus shows?
Yeah, we're approaching 4,800.
Wow.
No accounting for bad taste. No, seriously, we talked about it a little earlier in the program. Because even people that don't like what I have to say listen, and I appreciate that very, very much. because everybody's valuable. Everyone's opinion matters. We've just received God's favor. That's the only way I can explain it.
Wow. Well, that is awesome, and what a milestone. And we'll have to celebrate when you hit 5.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I want to know where you learned to take on home plate. Because did you meet with Pete Rose before the congressional baseball game? I mean,
listen, I didn't know who the catcher was. I didn't know that he was one of the lead Democrat senators who was pushing for gun control. And I certainly didn't know that he was one of the lead senators who was trying to blow up the filibuster and basically destroy America as we know it. All I knew is that he was in front of the plate in the baseline and he was in my way. And I lowered my shoulder and trucked on through.
And Pete Rose was proud. Pete Rose was absolutely proud. I will guarantee you that. And look, the fact of the matter is you didn't need to know anything other than the fact he was on the other team and he was a Democrat. We'll just leave it right there.
I tell people, you know, I think it not only set the tone for the rest of the game because that play happened in the first inning, but I think it set a little bit of a warning, and it was a little bit of foreshadowing of what's to come this November. I think the red wave is absolutely going to just run over these liberal progressives in both the House and the Senate and make no apologies for it. So people were a little surprised by it. And I said, you know, hey, listen, even if you're 5'3", sometimes you just got to drop your shoulder and lean in a little bit. And the fact that he complained about it after the fact speaks volumes.
Yeah, well, he wasn't ducking gunfire as Republicans had to do a few years ago, right?
Exactly.
Hey,
exactly.
You mentioned the election, and I am not. I've never been a tinfoil cap guy, Congressman or Congresswoman Kamik, but I am. I am really, really growing in my concern about the election from a logistical standpoint. We've got the United States Postal Service creating a division now to handle ballots. Is that a tacit admission that they didn't do it properly 2 years ago? Or, and then there's the, I know there's going to be another pandemic. I know we're setting up, whether it's the monkeypox thing, I think it's going to give way to Marburg. I think we have a tremendous amount of concern that we should have right now for the election.
Well, and I think that vigilance is going to be absolutely important as we roll into the fall, you know, and we've already seen some of the quote unquote bellwether indicators that this is going to be a total shellacking of epic proportions. We're coming up on midterm primaries today in various states, but also on August 9th in Minneapolis. And I tell people, watch this race. This is a seat that if we flip it, that will reduce Nancy Pelosi's margin in the House to 3 votes. She is watching that race very carefully, going so far as to spend money.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
All across the country in Republican primaries trying to take out strong candidates and, you know, doing ads and sending in, you know, basically fake candidates to go against true conservatives. They're trying every dirty trick in the book. We see that. We know that. In fact, in Homeland Security, we had a hearing on election security and integrity. And it was wild because I asked every single one of the so-called expert witnesses on the panel if they believed that voter ID was imperative to ensuring a reliable vote being cast, you know, proving who you say you are. And these so-called experts all said, in one way or another, that they didn't believe that voter ID was a legitimate thing except for one witness. These are the election integrity experts that are coming before Congress. I would say, yeah, we have a real problem. And so the fact that we have in the state of Florida, thanks to Governor DeSantis, election integrity office now that is going through and reviewing these cases. I know ballots are already out in midterm primaries in our state. We've been sending folks who have been receiving double ballots, you know, in their absentee requests, things like that. All that's getting sent on. So there is a deliberate effort on our part to make sure that any suspicion of fraud, anything like that, is going straight to the state. But we have real concerns, and so we're talking about it from the cybersecurity aspect, from the basic tenets of, hey, we need voter ID. These are basic things that we're going to keep pushing for, but we have to remain vigilant all the way through to the end of this year if we're going to have a seriously good, honest election.
U.S. Congresswoman Kat Kamick with us on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
And women serving our great nation in our armed services. Those serving communities as law enforcement officers and first responders. I say, you are all essential workers. Welcome to The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
12 minutes after the hour, U.S. Congresswoman Kat Kamick, Florida's 3rd Congressional District, my guest this morning. She joins us once a month, kind enough to make time in her schedule to visit with us. Congresswoman, you were talking about the security of the upcoming election. We have a lot of concerns about that. And there are concerns being raised in general just about what's happening in our country. And we had an attorney on last week, Todd Callender, who is litigating still against vaccine mandates. And I, for the life of me, don't understand how in the world that's being allowed, given that they're still using the experimental use authorized vaccine, which by law you don't have to take.
Right.
And the attorney, Todd, made the point, well, look at January 6th. We've got people that are sitting in solitary confinement for 20 months that have yet to have their habeas corpus.
Yep.
So what's being done to address this?
Well, and this is why I think it is so important that we elect constitutional conservatives. It is mind-numbingly frustrating when people say, oh, I'm a Republican, but then they pick and choose within the Constitution to uphold. I see it on the left, I see it on the right, and it's really, really frustrating because it's the Constitution that we take an oath, we swear that oath to uphold. And nowhere in the Constitution can the government deny due process. It's absurd what we are seeing with respect to the treatment and the due process or lack thereof of the folks from January 6th. When you talk about the vaccine mandates, this is wholly unconstitutional. The government has no power to make an individual receive a experimental vaccine if they don't want it. That is a personal decision that individual should and can make by themselves, for themselves, and for their families. This is all going to change dramatically when Republicans take the House and Senate and ultimately the White House.
Will there be accountability for these abuses?
Yes, wholeheartedly. Every single committee in Congress is going to be an oversight committee. There is going to be a dedicated, very narrow focus on all of these aspects that have turned our constitutional republic upside down, where all of a sudden the government has come out saying, we're going to pick and choose which amendments we want to uphold. We're going to tell you what you're going to do, what you're going to put in your body, how you're going to live your life. And then we're going to make you pay up all because we say we can. That needs to stop, and that will stop. And there is, under the commitment to America, there is a 100% commitment that every single committee in Congress becomes an oversight committee, and we hold all of these dangerous bureaucrats accountable for their actions in really undermining our Constitution and our constitutional rights.
Kat, stand by. We got a short segment there. Ran a little long in the first segment. We got one more segment to go. U.S. Congresswoman Kat Kamick on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
WFLA at WFLAFM.com. On your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos. And iHeart's radio station.
Congresswoman Kat Kamick with me on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. No shortage of things to talk about. I mean, oh my gosh. I don't know if I made this comment to you last time we visited, Kat, but, you know, the Obama administration really only got one thing done in their 2 years where they had control of the White House, the House, and the Senate, and that was Obamacare. And I believe they've learned from that, and they are throwing as much at us as possible before the upcoming midterms.
And then some.
Yeah. Now, I told you I needed to ask you about this because as you've appeared on this show, you are winning admirers and followers galore. People really enjoy hearing from you and the positions you're taking on issues. And so it didn't surprise me that questions were going to come up on the Respect for Marriage Act. And and share your reasons for that vote.
Yeah, you know, I think it really, to me, is pretty simple and clear cut in my mind. I am a constitutional conservative, and I don't get to decide on any given day which amendments I'm going to uphold. And for better or for worse, I cannot deny the Fifth and 14th Amendment and equal protection under the law to citizens and say, well, you know, I think today we're going to say that, no, you're not eligible for that, but this group of people over here is. Can't do that. That's not what the founders intended. The founders intended, by the very declaration, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed with, by their creator, with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They were explicitly clear that the government does not get to determine what that pursuit of happiness looks like for each person. I believe in self-determination. And when we talk about the term marriage, right, the government has co-opted that term. I don't believe that the government should have ever been in the quote-unquote marriage business.
Agreed.
They should have gotten out forever ago, eons ago. But instead, today we have created a system where the government incentivizes unions between two people, and they offer tax benefits and insurance benefits, and they make custodial decisions based on these unions. They've co-opted the term marriage. And so when they put this bill on the floor saying, are you going to guarantee that, quote, same-sex couples or interracial couples or couples of different national origin can enjoy the same rights as everyone else? To me, it's a no-brainer. This has nothing to do with my beliefs as a Christian. This has everything to do with what the founders intended when they said that they are going to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all Americans, regardless of what we believe. And so, again, I say to so many people who have, you know, questioned it and come and talk to me about it, some a little bit nicer than others.
Sure.
I say, listen, I believe wholeheartedly that the Constitution has given us the greatest republic on the planet. And it is not for a government bureaucrat, certainly, to say who is a winner and who is a loser. And I talk a lot about the example of reciprocity and our Second Amendment rights, how I believe that I should be able to, as a concealed carry weapons permit holder in the state of Florida, be able to carry my gun legally, because the Second Amendment guarantees it, in any state in the union. That's the reciprocity. And when you look at this bill, it's 3.5 pages long. It clearly states that this is reciprocity of recognition of those unions. So for a couple that is legally a union in the eyes of New York would then be recognized legally with those same benefits in the state of Florida. That's all this bill does. It doesn't change the biblical definition of marriage. It doesn't force churches to marry anybody. And it explicitly says through the private right of action section that no church can be forced to marry or recognize any union that they do not deem in line with their values. So there you have it.
I appreciate the time and the answer. We are out of time today. It always goes way too fast. And again, no shortage of things to talk about. But I appreciate your willingness to come on the program, as always. And I look forward to visiting with you again next month.
I appreciate you, Preston. Have a great week.
Thank you. You do the same. U.S. Congresswoman Kat Kamick. I promised you I'd ask her. You don't have to like the answer. You don't have to dislike the answer. She offered her answer on the Marriage Act, Respect for Marriage Act. I personally think it was a political trap that the Democrats tried to set. See, they're going to come after this, and then they're going to come after that in light of Roe v. Wade. I understand where she's coming from. I don't necessarily agree with all of it. I agree with some of it. I don't agree with all of it, but that's okay. She's still our friend, and she's still one of the best we got up there in Congress. 27 minutes after the hour, it's the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Chris Poole, FSU Volleyball, next.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the MAD Radio Network, where we challenge you to make a difference in your world in a positive way, improving the lives of others. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
35 minutes after the hour of the Morning Show. That is Grant Allen. I am Preston Scott. It is good to be with you this morning. And you can tell it's the seasons are shifting. We've moved into August. Time to start thinking sports. Talked yesterday with the new FSU soccer coach, Brian Penske. Pleased to have back on the program with us this morning, the volleyball coach, Chris Poole. Chris, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to visit with you.
Absolutely. I apologize that this has not been a little bit more of a frequent thing, because I'll tell you what, when you start to look at what you've pulled off at FSU, it is nothing short of remarkable, the consistency of the program making the postseason. First, how do you get that? How do you find that level of consistency?
Well, you have to get a little bit of luck and a lot of work, but you know, you got to find great players. And that's one thing that I think the Florida State brand, and it's real. I mean, it's real, not just across the country, but worldwide. I mean, people know Florida State. And I think it is, you know, it goes all the way back to Bobby Bowden and then all the great coaches we have here now, all the great sport teams. And, you know, you walk in the halls of Moore Center and you're just around a lot of greatness. Well, that helps everyone's recruiting. And so it allows us to be able to go out and get some great players that have a passion for being successful. And then we just really talk a lot about Working hard every day, not taking things for granted, and being the best you can be. And I think that the girls have really bought into that.
Chris, you said something there. I've always wanted to ask a coach this question, and I've never thought to do it until after the fact. But you said something from Coach Bowden, and of course, we know the breadth of the programs at FSU are all doing remarkably well, but we also know that a lot of the identity for Florida State University does revolve around football. As you're seeing the program, it looks like it's turning the corner, that Mike Norvell has it heading in a different direction. How different is it for you as coach of volleyball when the football program seems to be gaining on, you know, more progress in the program and getting back to the national attention it once had?
Well, I'm a big football fan myself, so I love what the football team does. But, you know, I was in the SEC for 15 years at Arkansas, so I know how football drives the athletic funding engine of a university. There's no doubt. So I know when football is doing better, that it allows everyone opportunities, and I'm all aboard with that. And I do believe I Mike is a great, great guy. I know fans may not, you know, they see the program where it is right now, and they, you know, they may be frustrated at times, but this is a first-class individual that really has a lot of heart for building the program, and everyone is behind him in the department. I mean, we want him to do well because we know what that's going to mean for all of our teams. It does bring a lot of attention. And when any of the sports are winning national championships like soccer and softball and those guys, it helps. It helps to be able to throw that out there. And we do, you know, whether it's tennis being in the top five, whatever it is, we make sure that we are also showing that to recruits to say, this is Florida State. This is what you're capable of being able to do. And this is what I want. These are the type of teams that we want to build here, that we want to be successful with. And I'm proud that, you know, you're proud of what all the programs are doing, but you certainly know that you're rooting for football to really turn that corner and start being in the seat that it deserves to be in.
Chris Poole, FSU volleyball coach, with us for another segment. We're going to focus on the upcoming season. A little context here. His teams have made the NCAAs 12 of the last 13 years and 12 of his 14 seasons at FSU. That is a level of success that is remarkable. We're going to talk about the upcoming season of FSU volleyball with head coach Chris Poole next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Sensei of sensibility, communicator of common sense, amplified. It's The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Talking FSU volleyball with head coach Chris Poole. Got a nice contract extension. Congratulations, Chris.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
How would you describe the team you've got coming back? Is it a veteran team, or would you say that it's sort of a mixture because you do have 9 kids coming back, but you got some newcomers?
Yeah, it is a nice mixture. Now, we were the youngest team in the country last year in volleyball. We had 6 true freshmen of really only 13 players that played most of the time. So it was a very, very young team. So those guys are sophomores now, so they are a year removed. But the class that we brought in a mixture of transfers and freshmen, because we knew that with us being so young, we wanted to be able to add a little bit to the experience level. And so that's the reason we have a combination. So with that, I do believe that this is a team that can feed off of its excitement from last year, where we went to the second round and played really well, knocked off Florida Gators. And so when you're doing some things like that, you still are playing at a very high level. We just weren't always as consistent against the best teams as you've got to be to win those big, big games. I think we've got a team capable of doing that this year. And I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a team that probably the best overall potential that we've had since maybe even 2016, which is a year that we went to the Sweet 16, I think this is a team capable of being that kind of program again.
When you put together the schedule first, do you put that schedule together? And if so, how do you construct it based on what you anticipate to be the personality and the makeup of your team?
Yeah, and that's I do it myself because it's to me it's such a huge responsibility to be able to put that together and make sure that you're aligning the kind of teams that you need because it is a risk. You can go out and you can overschedule for a young team. Mm-hmm. And then really beat them up in preseason and then go into conference without any confidence at all. So you have to look at it and try to figure out what is it that we need from this team. We feel like we've got a really nice mixture this year. We are playing teams that are at the top of their conferences, but they're not all Power 5 teams. So it gives us a chance to play really good teams. We have to play well to still win, but we do add in, we sprinkle in a Florida, which we play Florida every year, either at home or away. And that's just something that Mary and I have been doing there since I got here. But I've been playing Florida now since 1994 straight between the SEC and here, 30 years in a row, Mary and I have been playing each other. So it's always a fun rivalry between the two of us, but then you add in the fact that it's the Gators and the Seminoles, where it just adds the more fuel to the fire. And so that'll be a fun match. We also have Creighton, and Creighton is always a top 15 program that does very well out of the Midwest. And then we have some teams that are at the top of their conference, in Illinois State and a Cincinnati and a Dayton. Those guys are all going to the NCAA tournament every year. And so it gives us a chance to really see what we can do early, but also know that, okay, we're going to go into a tough ACC conference. Matter of fact, the ACC was rated the number one conference in the country last year for volleyball for the first time. But I've seen it coming over the last 4 or 5 years, and I'd like to think that I was part of helping get it to build up, you know, after getting here and seeing the conference really take off. But it was fun to see us be successful and the conference be successful.
They're going to start on the road, folks, but be back home to open the season late in August on the 31st, hosting the Rattlers at Tully Gym. Coach, thanks for the time today. I promise we're going to have you back in the season, and I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you. Chris Poole, FSU Volleyball, my guest. We're trying to give you a little snapshot of all the programs as we go through the season this year for Florida State Athletics right here on the home for Florida State Athletics, iHeartRadio, and The Morning Show with Preston Scott. All right, we teased the story last week. It happened over the weekend. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Meekum Auctions.
1970s. I've had people texting me about this car already. 1977 Pontiac Trans Am SE. That's the special edition, the real deal Y82 JK.
Right.
But it's all about the mileage on this car. Tell us more.
Well, you ready for this? 14 original miles.
14 original miles. You heard it right, folks.
On top of that, it is the holy grail of Pontiac Trans Ams. The 1977, we know what made this vehicle famous. Put it on the pop culture top of the list of everybody for Smokey the Bandit.
Look at that number, $290,000. The reserve is off by a long shot.
Wow. I always say on these low mileage cars, how the original owner had the willpower to not drive this car. He must have been in the garage rubbing it with a diaper every night because he had to do something for it.
Either that or those 14 miles were so rewarding, he felt like it couldn't be topped.
Right.
$340,000. $350,000. Can you imagine this?
Oh, yeah. This is it. This is the perfect intersection of pop culture and automotive history blending in together.
we might get to 400,000.
I mean, at this price and for what it is, I think all you got to do is drain it and put it in your living room because it is rolling art.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Drop it.
Come on.
Wow.
$400,000.
$400,000.
And when you add in fees, $440,000. For a Pontiac Trans Am, Smokey and the Bandit type car, it was the 77, but with 14 original miles. That's it. And that car had virtually no horsepower. Hilarious. 180 horsepower, massive engine, but because of the days of catalytic converters and restrictions, virtually no horsepower. $400,000. It was so funny because I think the guy that's in the pit that helps with the bidding gets a little piece if his guy wins. So he's like, come on, drop the hammer. And they fell.
Brought to you by Baronel Heating and Air. It's the Morning Show 180 on WFLA.
Oh, did we cover a lot of turf today. Visit with U.S. Representative Kat Kamik. I had someone write me and say, her political career is over. No, it's not. You're overreacting. I don't agree with her rationale, especially when you get to the founders. The founders never would have sanctioned that. But she does make a great point when she says, the government shouldn't be in marriage. It shouldn't be involved. But it is what it is, and I believe it was a political trap, but she's still, look, and I'll debate anybody on the topic. There is nobody on the planet that's ever passed the purity test except Jesus. And if you're looking to find a politician that's going to pass the purity test, good luck. I've yet to find anyone that agrees with the way that I think on everything. You do the best you can. I think Kat Kamik's spectacular. I think she's a great representative of Congress. And so we'll leave it at that. Biden creating a special permanent division in the United States Postal Service to handle elections. There's nothing that can go wrong with that. Stacey Abrams, Dennis in those commercials, he wasn't even a cop in Georgia. She had to find a cop outside of Georgia to speak on her behalf, because no one in the state will do it. Just saying, that explains why Dennis Collard won't come on the Morning Show with Preston Scott. He'd have to explain himself. We whacked another Al-Qaeda leader. Good for us, bad for them. Tomorrow, we'll tee it up again with J.D. Johnson of the Talent Training Group.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.